Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And our deepest condolences, obviously, to the Haddon family. Very special family to me and to Kevin.
Absolutely.
So,
listen, in this industry, it is not easy to find a family-owned radio stations, but ones that treat you like family, yeah, even harder. Yeah. And very much felt like that with the Haddons.
Oh, my goodness.
Still do.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Why do you think when they sat down and said to me, they said, you know, maybe we'd like to do something. It didn't take me long to say yes. This is not what you would have called a difficult negotiation. I've always been a part of family atmospheres in the sports teams I've been involved in. Even, you know, people talk about, you know, well, you do minor league baseball with the Spikes on top of Penn State football, basketball. But the Spikes are a family operation, too, same way. I mean, I'm talking about how they're run. And you want to be involved in something like, you know, the world is so corporate now. And that's what makes, look at all the things that happen within the community that are based around the radio stations of Sunbury Broadcasting. You want to talk about ingrained in the community. You know, you have a fundraiser, where do you want to turn to put it on? Okay. Remember last December we were talking about donating to the firefighters?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, greatest resource you have. Volunteer firefighters. Really? I mean, yeah. And what stations involved right away? That's, you know, part of the legacy of the family. And they passed it on down to the rest of us where the rest of us feel the same way about it. Being a radio station, being involved in a radio station, there are many important facets to being involved in a radio station. Number one, of course, entertainment. You know, whether it's talk or whether it's music, you want to be able to entertain people or at least have a style that has people interested. Number two, on a station like this, getting out good information where it's good, solid talk. But also a critical part of it is being ingrained in the community, a resource that people can count on. There's a storm moving in tomorrow night into Wednesday. This is going to be a station you're going to count on to find out whether anything's delayed or not. You're going to want to count on the station to hear what the forecast is going to be. You're going to listen to the station, find out what the news is, so you're fully informed of what's going on in your own backyard. And then, of course, we have an opportunity with what Mark does in the morning, with so many local guests, and the mixture of local guests like Dave Paulson, Danny Hale this afternoon, mixed with some national guests that we get. I mean, last week was a big national guest week. I mean, between Dan Dockage of ESPN, Joe Lenardi on Bracketology, and Mike DeCourcy, those are guests that this time of the year people are aching to get, and at the same time bringing it back home to Danny Hale and Dave Paulson, right? But that's all part of the mission, and that comes from the top.
I have to share a quick story. When my son was four, we sent out Christmas cards, and we sent it to the Haddon family, and I think it's been on Mrs. Haddon's refrigerator for the last 10 years. That's how much she thought of my family, and that's how much my family thought of her. And Mr. Haddon as well before his passing about 04. But that's how much the family means to us, as sure, well as I'm sure what we obviously meant to them. And not many places can you work for people like that. And I enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're very, very fortunate. In a world that's gone corporate, having people that you work for that, quote, get it. We need more of that. All right, we've gone from Bucknell basketball with Dave Paulson
to Danny Hill retiring with Bloomsburg football to now going to the next step with Lady Lion basketball. They won the Big Ten championship outright yesterday by winning at Nebraska. I had a chance early this afternoon to talk to Coquise Washington about her team as they get ready for the Big Ten tournament.
There's a building process. In your building process, you want to get to this point and feel like you're playing your best basketball. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you are, or is there fine-tuning that's needed?
I think it's a little bit of both, Steve. I think we are playing really good basketball right now, but there's certainly some fine-tuning that has to happen. I think we have to be consistent in the Big Ten tournament and in the NCAA tournament. We have to be a little bit more consistent defensively. But I like the way we're sharing the ball. Mm-hmm. We're getting good offensive balance. I think we're attacking the boards well. And I think we're playing with a confidence. Even the Minnesota loss, we played with confidence through that game. We just got a lot of tough breaks, and you know, things just weren't clicking as well as we needed to.
Co, what about Alex Bentley? Is she doing a better job defensively of picking her spots? Mm-hmm. I mean, in Minnesota, she got a little out of sync. Mm-hmm. She got called for a couple, but is she picking her spots better?
She actually is picking her spots well, and I think her and Dara Taylor you know, and Maggie as well. They're very, very good defensive backcourt. You know, they do a good job of making people aware of them defensively. So I think she's doing a better job of picking her spots, and she's got to be very conscientious about that in the Big Ten tournament because we need her on the court.
Are you guys doing a good job of dictating tempo in the game?
We certainly did that against Nebraska, and I think that was the key. We dictated how that game was going to be played, and also equally as important is we determined what shots we were going to take, and that's part of that whole dictating thing.
Yeah.
You know, Maggie Lucas, you know, she was, you know, on fire, had a great game, but she took all good shots. She took shots that she wanted to take. She took shots out of the offense, and when you can have that kind of intelligence about how you're playing and playing that kind of smart basketball on offense, good things usually follow.
At this time of the year, it really helps when teams can play two speeds, because there's going to be a point where you're going to have to grind it out, and there's going to be a day where it's your day and you can play your speed. Do you feel your team can change speeds in a game?
Absolutely, and I think one of the reasons I feel good about that is because we're getting good play from our post players. Right. We're getting good interior play, and usually when the game slows down, you want to be able to go inside out. You want to be able to get some easy baskets and get to the free throw line, and you know, Nikki and Mia and Tori are giving us really good minutes and playing really good basketball on the inside for us.
Does a conference tournament in the one and done format prepare you mentally for the big one?
I think so. I think it does. You know, you kind of get in that mentality. One of the good things about our team, though, is we kind of play that way all season long.
Right.
You know, we really focus and put a heavy emphasis on this game. You know, we don't put too much stock in what happened in the past. We don't look too far ahead. So we've prepared ourselves all year long to play one game at a time, and I think that's going to be really important for us this weekend.
The full body of work, non-conference, conference. Do you feel like that has prepared you now for the moment that you've been preparing for since last summer when you went on the trip?
I do. I do think we've challenged ourselves in the non-conference. You know, we've played six or seven top 25 teams and had pretty good success against them. We've gone on the road in hostile environments, you know, Nebraska, Texas A&M, Ohio State, you know, Michigan State. We've gone to some pretty tough venues and played and been successful. So I think we've seen, you know, everything that we could possibly see. We've seen every defense. We've seen triangle and twos and box and ones and mans and zones and presses and traps. And, you know, we've exposed ourselves to everything we're going to see. And we know we can be successful against all that kind of stuff. And so it's up to us to bring the effort, to bring the focus, to bring the energy. And if we do that, I think we can be successful on any night against anybody we play.
You get to the final 4 minutes of the game. Do you like the way your team, A, mentally approaches the final 4 minutes, and B, the execution, the poise in the final 4 minutes?
I do. I do like our poise and our execution. And I think that's one of those things where we're a lot more experienced at now. You know, a few years ago, I go back to that ball game in round two of the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. And we didn't play with a lot of poise. And confidence at that time, but now we understand how long the game is, and we understand the importance of execution, the final stretches of a game.
And the rotations defensively, so important, especially at this time of the year. Because they're together like this, do you sense that everybody knows where everybody's supposed to be beforehand?
Well, I think we give great effort, you know, and, you know, we really honed in what we have to do defensively. Give great effort. And, you know, basketball is a game that's geared toward the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, the offense has the advantage.
Yeah.
So defensively, you're kind of always playing, you know, a step behind. If you give great effort and you have great communication and you're working in concert as a team, then, you know, people may, we can take advantage.
Thanks. Good luck.
That is Coquise Washington. Maggie Lucas has been named the Big Ten Player of the Year. She was a unanimous first-team selection. This came out just moments ago. Alex Bentley is on the first team. Also on the, let's see, No Lady Lions on the second team. Nikki Green is on the third team, which is rather extensive. Honorable mention, No Lady. So they got two first-teamers, a third-teamer, all defensive team. Alex Bentley and Dara Taylor made it. Nobody on the all-freshman team. Maggie Lucas is the player of the year by both the media and by the coaches. And just, I mean, she knocked down 34 yesterday. But she was the only unanimous selection, by the way, on the all-conference team. The only unanimous selection. Okay. I think we're out of coaches for the day, right?
I think we've run our gambit there of coaches. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. And, of course, Patrick Chambers, he says, you know, I'll come on your show anytime. I said, Patrick, I said, I have you on every single week for an hour. He says, no, that's true.
Including tomorrow night.
Including tomorrow night. He goes, that's a good point. He was talking to me about this on Wednesday. He says, you know, I'll do your show anytime. I said, I understand. I said, there'll be a point. I'll bring you into the Sunbury Motor Studio and we'll knock it around a bit and take some calls. And I said, you know, I said, but I have you. I said, I've already done 27 hours of shows with you this season. Said, that's a good point. Now you have people asking to come on the show. That's a good thing.
How far we've come in a year.
Oh, my goodness. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Mall Street in Sunbury. To go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors is located 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz, 11 to 15 Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. Hilscher's General Store is located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. All right. The Kevin Herr rant of the day is coming up. You won't want to miss this. It's 22 minutes away. And plus your calls on News Radio 1070 WK. Great to have you with us today. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. Steve Jones, Kevin Herr with you on this Monday afternoon. Our thanks to Coquise Washington, Dave Paulson, Danny Hale for being with us earlier in the show. We kept it all local today. We'll flip it around, go a little national maybe later in the week for you. But at the same time, I want to make sure that, you know, that we keep our roots here. I mean, it's interesting. I mentioned about going national last week with Dan Dockich and Joe Lenardi and Mike DeCourcy, among others, and Dick Girardi, of course. But we also had both the high school coaches on last week, too. Lenny Smith and Tim Four. I mean, you know, so.
And yeah. we've had District 4 AAA champ Steve DeLong and the Milton Black Panthers on in the last week or so.
So, we've run the gambit here.
By the way, Steve, I have been able to find a place and time for Milton Scranton Prep. That will be on Friday night at Shamokin High School again. 7:30 is the start time there for Milton and Scranton Prep in the first round of the state playoffs, Class AAA.
Very nice. Well done. All right. So, there you go.
Did you hear the latest deal with Rory McIlroy now on why he supposedly has had the issue he did last week and had to walk off the course?
No.
I mean,
is part of your rant?
No. You talk about TMZ. This is all about TMZ right here. The big issue is, I guess it's his girlfriend, Carolyn Wozniacki. Okay. I guess they're not having a good time right now, and she was not playing well in the Malaysian Open, and it looks like maybe that's part of it, according to one report out of the Ireland's largest selling daily paper, The Independent. Now, they say the reason they think this is true and it's not the toothache, it's because he was seen eating a sandwich a short while before he walked off the course. Can't the man just have a bad day? I mean, is it okay just to have a bad day and things not go well? I mean, is that allowed anymore in sports?
Evidently not. And plus, you have to tweet the reason why, which you know how I feel about.
Oh, well, listen, the reason the tweeting is about this has been crazy. It's the Nike clubs. It's the fact that he can't handle being number one. It's Caroline problems. I mean, just the guy had a bad day, okay? I don't care why he had a bad day. Just he had a bad day.
It happens. We'll come back to News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS just $15,943, a 2010 Ford Transit Connect wagon four-door XLT, lowest price guaranteed $16,496, 2003 Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1 just $69,996, 2011 Ford F-150 regular cab $17,955, and a 2011 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited four-wheel drive just 5,100 miles only $39,99. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and at our dealership routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915. 888-536-8017.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word: Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
From Pretty Woman?
Well, I didn't have enough time.
I mean, Bartlett's not here on the show yet.
Oh. That's for Caroline.
For Caroline?
Yeah.
See, by the way, the video casts are going really well.
The video cast?
Yeah, for news.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, do you have a camera there that I'm not aware of?
The ones you direct?
Yes, I'm aware of the ones you're talking about now.
The ones you're like physically there and direct?
Yes, I'm familiar.
Red light goes on, she talks. Red light goes off, she stops.
Right.
Yeah, it's really difficult to direct.
I didn't say it was a difficult job, but it's well edited and put together. I'll tell you that.
I think you're lucky you have her.
No argument from me. No argument from me. Somebody emailed me the other day and said, now that OTM has the webcam, when is the Steve Jones webcam going to happen? So that's a very good question.
I can't answer that. I'm not.
What really happens in the Sunbury Motor Studio?
Well, for one thing, Joe, who does a great job, by the way, of making sure this is well taken care of if I ever have an issue, and I've only had one, He was in here about a month and a half ago. He goes, man, it's clean in here. I said, thank you. So you'd at least see it's neat.
It's more than I can say from my office.
Yeah, he likes the pictures in here. I've got pictures, an aerial picture of Medler Field, Beaver Stadium, and the Jordan Center where I broadcast from. I've got a picture from my broadcast spot, football, broadcast spot, basketball, broadcast spot, baseball. All from my perspective. I have those in.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Howdy, how are you?
Would you just come from the SEC? Actually,
hola, buenos dias, bonjour, hello, how you? See, quadlingual.
Actually, that might be more like the Texas League.
Our number 1-800-795-9565. All right, we're all out of guests, all right? We already had Danny Hale of Bloomsburg on. We had Dave Paulson of Bucknell on. We had Coquise Washington of Penn State on. We are, yes, working on Kale Sanderson, trying to see if we can somehow get him tomorrow or Wednesday, okay?
Well, he's not so busy this time of year or anything, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? We're gonna work it, make it happen, all right?
That sounds great.
How about that?
Love that. Love to hear it. Kale always amazes me. I mean, I never heard him speak until he was on the show. And just the look of him on the side of the mat and every time I've seen him on television did not match up with the voice that I had in my head. You know, he's so much more laid back and, well, quiet.
He has no ego, okay? He's done everything, all right? He's never lost. He's never whatever. He has no ego. And I'll be honest with you, that to me, that's one of the, when I get, I'm very, very lucky in my career in that I work with a guy in Jack Ham who's accomplished everything and has zero ego. He is as down to earth as, I mean, you wouldn't even know he attended a Super Bowl, let alone played in it and won it. Dick Girardi, zero ego. Okay. Pat Chambers, zero ego. Kale Sanderson, zero ego. Bill O'Brien, zero ego. I mean, none. I mean, he's like, oh, I don't want to talk about me. Yeah. Now, also in the zero ego category, in my opinion, is Ken from Milton. Ken, welcome to Love Fest 2013.
I never thought I'd have to say this to you, Steve Jones, but boy, are you wrong on that. I got an ego the size of a moon.
takes a man to admit it.
If the rest of the world were like me, there'd be no problems. I'm telling you.
They would do what I tell them.
Hey, now I'm checking in on the late, fellas, and if you already discussed this, Kevin, I was a little curious as to, and again, I apologize if you went over this, your take on the district championship, the Triple A game Saturday night. Now, I took the opportunity to go up to regionals for wrestling. I didn't get over to see it, but I was curious, being from Milton, if what the Milton fan base was like, if they traveled well, if there was a good crowd. It was a pretty big deal. I realized that, and I mean no disrespect when I say this, it wasn't the strongest Triple A field that we've seen here in District 4. But it's a pretty big deal to Milton. We've been down for quite a while, and Milton was a basketball town under Tony Fanick for a long time. So to be able to win that district title and to get another game in the state playoffs, it's kind of important up this way. And I wanted to get your feel on it from more of a spectator or standpoint than a Shikellamy broadcaster.
Well, let me say this, Ken, about the field, though, in District 4. There's Athens was a very solid team that Milton defeated the other night. And they actually lost several players due to an incident that were breaking team rules. And a lot of those guys were starters. So to still come out and get the – and that was back, I believe, in December. So to come out and get a two seed, you know, that tells you the kind of depth they had at that point in the season. You know, Danville is a very solid team. They really do a nice job with their transition game. And I thought Milton was really and I don't mean this in a negative way, that was the team that kind of surprised me a little bit. I knew they had a lot coming back, but they really, really played well together as a team and got some really good minutes off the bench. And that showed the other night when Brandon Rogers came in for Chad Deegan, who unfortunately was involved in a car accident coming back from the Danville-Shikellamy game the night before. He actually didn't play against Athens, and Rogers came in and played very, very well. Now, Deegan came back in Saturday and did get some playing time, but did not, you know, didn't play as well as he has in the past, obviously, because of, you know, some of the injuries from the accident and, of course, the timeout. But the guy that really impressed me for Milton was Travis Krall, and I said this earlier. He had 10 points at halftime and really gave the Braves fits underneath. The way, just his size. I mean, not only is he a tall guy, but he's a big guy. And I thought that was the best I had seen him play in his career in that particular game. Now, I've obviously seen every game. I've seen only maybe about five or six of them. But that's the best I've seen him play in those games. He got both of the forwards, starting forwards for Shikellamy in foul trouble. That made a big difference in the ballgame and then went on for a game-high 18. Now, as for the crowd, I really was... in seeing Milton a couple of times, I didn't see a ton of fan base there, but I saw it grow as the season went on. And in talking with a couple of people, I've seen heard their same responses. As the team was succeeding after so many years of struggling, the fan base was starting to come back. I think if you have to balance it out a little bit, it was probably a little bit more to the Shikellamy side than the Milton side. But again, a lot of that goes with the fact that Milton is on the way back and, well, now have come back. And as I said on Saturday night, it was really nice to see Chad Deegan, who had been part of so many teams that had struggled, where he had to be the one to be the leading scorer and the leader, come out where he didn't have to be the guy that they counted on to win the game and got himself a district championship as well. It was nice to see Milton make that transition back. But I think you'll see more people come out to this next game, especially against Scranton Prep, with the proximity being so close and being a much, you know, being a state playoff game.
Well, I always said this in regards to basketball, and especially when Tony left, in 2005, I believe it was, Tony Fanick, that being, we got spoiled. We were used to, having 20-win seasons for, 20, 25 years. You know, sure. We were used to playing for league championships, not always winning them, but playing for district championships and playing, into the second and third, and even once into the state finals. You know, we got really spoiled. And when that stopped, it almost seemed bittersweet to so many people that they couldn't believe it. They couldn't stand to go to a game where we weren't dominating, or that's to say when Milton wasn't dominating. Excuse me, Steve. but it was just...
I caught the we in there. Yeah, I caught that.
It's a nice story for the kids. They have had a rough time through their high school career.
Absolutely.
And to be able to go out and do it, and how they turn the corner, I don't know, but we'll take another district championship banner and hang it on the wall and hope for better things next year.
Well,
hey,
I think
thanks, fella. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's all right, Ken. I just want to add. I think the thing you have to remember is there's a lot of good players on this team that aren't just seniors either. There's some young sophomore talent here too. That I think will emerge here in the next year or two. So I think Milton is going to be a team to watch for the next couple of years.
Well, that's good to hear, and certainly hope you can get Sanderson on the show. And I'd like to tell him a thing or two about wrestling. I don't think he has it all under control yet, and I'd like to talk to him about it. But I'll talk to you guys sometime soon. Take care.
He's anxiously awaiting your advice.
Thanks, Ken.
I'll use that as a selling point.
Oh, that'll do it right there.
Ken says he wants to give you some advice. I used to do this with Joe. All right, the 5 years at the beginning of the 2000 decade. You know, they only went to postseason once in 5 years. So a couple of years were lean, and he'd come in. And he goes, "Well, what do we got tonight?" I said, "Well, I'm just going to open up the advice line and see what you get."
And what was his response to that?
He says, "Thanks, Steve. Appreciate that." Thanks, Steve.
Open up the advice line.
That's what I tell him. You know, oh, look, I mean, could I talk to him a little differently
Well, yes. Okay, so I got...
You know. Gee, you think?
Okay, I admit it.
I asked you, you know, I've gone to...
One time, I'll tell you...
Oh, is it story time with Steve?
Let me give you what I did one time.
Oh, it's story time with Steve.
Very quick. It's no story time. No, it's not. But one time, whatever, I think I did the pregame show with him. So we were done, and like I always say, hey, coach, thanks for your time, whatever, you know. So I was done. Joe, I said, Joe, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it. He goes, well, you know, he said, I get paid for this. I looked at him. He said, well, what a coincidence. He looked at me. He says, that's what I like. You come right back with something. He says, I like that. He says, I don't like when I say something and people just look at me. He says, you come right back. He said, what a coincidence. You're getting paid? I'm getting paid.
Let's make
the best of it.
I think I only asked him. I've been to many of his news conferences over the years. Most of them in the summer as the season starting, and media days. And I think I only asked him maybe one or two questions. But man, I tell you what, I always wanted. I had everything thought out because I knew that if you asked a question that wasn't thought out properly, he would definitely let you know about it. And I sat there and I waited and waited, and I finally got up the nerve to ask him about the scoreboard and the video replay that was going to be on the scoreboard, because I knew he mm-hmm. didn't really care one way or another. But I wanted to hear what he said, and his answer was, that's for the fans, but I might take a peek.
Right. That, now this will make you angry.
Okay.
I never once wrote a question.
Well, now that doesn't surprise me. You think it makes me angry? It doesn't surprise me. Me, on the other hand, I want to make sure I have everything squared away, because let's face it, yeah. I sound dumb without any help.
Oh, not true. Not true. All right. How about your rant of the day? I mean, we have been working ourselves to an emotional lather.
Oh yeah, I guess yeah we have. Well, guess what? It involves our friend Joe Flacco from the Ravens. Now, you know, he has...
Is he giving Raheem Morris some money?
Well, we know he's got a pretty decent contract.
He's not getting this money unless Raheem Morris just sits there and goes, that's over my head, isn't it?
Well, we know he's got a pretty decent contract coming. What is it? $120.6 million. Is that what the official word was?
And 52 in guaranteed. It is on stevejonesshow.com.
Well, yeah, $120.6 million, 52 of it guaranteed, including a $29 million signing bonus. Now, what's the comment that comes out? Is, well, you know, he says it's not about the money. It's about the respect. No, it's not. Let's be honest. It's about the money. The respect's fine. I understand that. You know, you took a chance. You said, I'm really worth this kind of money, and I'm going to prove it. But he said, it's never about earning the money and all that. It's about earning respect. Definitely about earning the respect and feeling and the feeling of respect around here. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Because if it was just about the respect, you'd say, you know what? Whatever your offer is, I'll take it. Because I want to play here. This is a fun place to play, and I think we have a good team. No, it's about the three digits that came before the M that made the difference in it. Let's be quite honest, and anybody that says differently is lying.
But you know what? It took no time to negotiate this contract.
Granted, that's absolutely right.
They didn't wait. They, you know, there was not any hanging on to the bitter end. Is he going to hold out or not? Is he going to miss minicamp? They got the thing done in a month. A month.
You know, but...
That's unusual.
But don't tell me it's not about signing the biggest contract in NFL history. Right. It is.
And you know his agent is Bill O'Brien's agent, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, Joe Linton.
I think maybe I'm going to have to ask you to get his phone number then. Then you and I can start talking. It's not about the respect, Steve. Well, it's about the money, all right? I'll admit it.
Well, I agree. I agree with you.
if it wasn't about the money, then you would have taken what was there last year.
Right. I agree with you. He took a chance last year. I don't know if it's much of a chance. I mean, he was going to get a lot of money from some organization anyway. Okay.
Sure he was.
I mean, he was going to, even if they had failed in the playoffs.
Kansas City would have paid him what he wanted, or close to it. Cleveland might have been interested. My view is this: if it's just the fact that, you know, don't insult my intelligence. It's about the money. If you want to say, listen, it wasn't all about the money, it's about respect, then okay. But to say it's never about earning the money, that's not true. Because you wouldn't be doing this if you weren't getting paid.
But you know what? Okay, I agree with you. This is not going to be a disagreement. I totally agree with you. But he is low-key. No, he doesn't. When have you ever, except for the comment he made about, look, I'm an elite quarterback, and you don't know what the context was when he said it. It's like Eli Manning said it. He's not really, he doesn't give you the ego.
No, I will agree to that for sure.
I mean, Rich just got by the 49ers. I'm the greatest. No, you're not.
Sorry.
You aren't even the best receiver in the history of the franchise. I would take both Jerry Rice and John Taylor before you.
In a New York minute.
I mean, I'm the greatest receiver ever. You know, and then the alligator arms it in the Super Bowl. Hey, you're the best. No, I mean, he's not one of those guys that makes statements like that. He's always kind of, the respect part has meant a lot to him. You know, look, we constantly go over and over and over, not an elite quarterback. And when you have parts of your profession picked apart by people who can't do what you do, that cannot be easy. It can't be easy. I mean, I remember one time down in Tampa, it was before the album. Not saying I'm the best of this there, whatever. But I do well enough when I call a game. Okay. And some people may think I'm lousy. Some people may think I'm good. Whatever. Okay, it's your opinion as to how well I do at my particular job. It's public. All right. But this guy sat down with me and says, I could do your job. I looked at him and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I don't think so. It's like a lot of people out there think they can play quarterback. I don't think I can coach. I can quarterback. No. This guy was in finance. I can't do what it was. And I know how to finance unless I have years of training. How to do it and the pace of it and the whole thing as to, you know, steering people in the right direction, wrong direction, whatever, and avoiding the wrong. No, I can't do that. Can I weld? Yeah, I can weld, but can I weld as well as the guy down the street that does it in the profession? No, I haven't welded in 20-something years. And when I was okay at it. I wasn't great, but I could do it. You know, it must be hard for a guy like him to constantly be picked apart for all of his deficiencies so that when he does this, he said, look, it is about respect. Well, you know what? Stuff probably has been eating at him for 5 years, and that's probably why he said it.
No, you could be right. Hey, John from Shamokin on the line before we go to break. Steve?
Hello?
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Hi, John.
Just a quick question.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. On the state of Penn State basketball, when Penn State got in the Big Ten, I was expecting to see big things from the basketball team or at least a lot of improvement. and I really haven't seen it. You see anything on the horizon, recruiting-wise? It just doesn't seem like they can get the recruits, even though the Big Ten is a great conference for basketball.
Yeah, it is a great conference for basketball, and that brings with it both pluses and minuses. I mean, I can tell you right now, let's take Gonzaga. They're the number one team in the country, right, John?
Yep.
If Penn State's in the West Coast Conference, they probably finish fourth.
Oh, really?
Okay. But when you're looking at the level of talent in this conference, it's murderer's row right now trying to get through them.
Kidding.
Now, for Patrick Chambers, he's had one request. One. Because he hired in June, which means he missed the late signing period completely. So he's had one. Just signed his second class. You have now a coach. Time to then implement this and stop with the recruit. Now, and I talked to John Beilein about this when I was on his show a week ago. You know, on his show, I think of Michigan football. It's interesting. In the early years when John Beilein started, I said, John, you were trying to fit, with all due respect, round pegs into square holes. You know, because he was. Now I said, you have a style of player that fits, you want to. Burr, Robinson, Hardaway, guys like that.
Right.
Well, that's what Patrick Chambers has to do now. He has a style he wants to play, and they're starting to go in that direction, John, because they'll get Tim Frazier back next year, who plays that style. John, who was 38% in threes in the Big East last year, fits that style. Graham Woodward had 29 the other night, and his team beat Hopkins High School, which has won the state championship in Minnesota 7 of the last 8 years. And he had 20 leading. This kid can shoot. Out of Pittsburgh, thing, good shooter and so forth. You're going to see, John, a style that's going to put probably 4 guards on the floor. Minimum 3, sometimes 4 guards on the floor that can play 94 feet, defend, shoot, and change what's going on. Plus, the Big Ten will turn over next year. I don't expect Trey Burke back. I don't expect Cody Zeller back. I expect a real changeover next year in Big Ten personnel. I think that's going to combine with the Penn State turning over its roster, which they need to do. They need to turn the roster over. 6 new guys will be on that roster next year. And the 6 guys he has, they're bringing in conform to how he wants to play.
Uh-huh.
Now I think you'll start to get a better evaluation of where Penn State is.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I just figured once they got in the Big Ten, you'd see their recruiting really take off, you know. But I guess with the change in coaches,
well,
you know, 3 coaches.
You know what, though, John? It's more, John, it's more than that. Let's take Minnesota, for example. I know we're going past the break here. Minnesota. Do you know how many Division I teams there are in the state of Minnesota?
One.
One. Minnesota. Okay,
yeah.
They're it. There are 5 states in the nation that have Division I program. They're one of the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many Division I programs are there in Philadelphia?
Oh.
6.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, 6,
you got,
and then you've got in between.
Right in Penn State's backyard.
Bucknell, Lafayette, Pitt, Duquesne. I mean, let's say Robert Morris, St. Francis. I mean, on and on and on. This state has 14 Division I programs.
Yeah.
And everyone says, going to Philadelphia. Okay. And he is going to Philadelphia. John Johnson's Philadelphia. DJ Newbill's Philadelphia. Julian Moore's Philadelphia. So he's getting in there now.
Yep.
But you're also fighting 6 Division I schools in that area, too. You know, it's a different proposition. There's no natural recruiting area. And I know people love their high school basketball between Philly, Harrisburg, and Pittsburgh. But I'll be frank with you. There's not a lot of Division I talent in this state.
That's surprising when you think of the Philadelphia area and all.
Well, no, but I'm telling you, after you get outside of Philadelphia, I mean.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of Division I talent, I said, between Philly and Pittsburgh. You do not see, for example, an influx of Duke, North Carolina, you know, Ohio State coming in. Hey, let's go and see this kid playing in Hazleton. No. Doesn't happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks.
I mean,
for
Ohio
your time.
State, right? I mean, Ohio State has Columbus. Okay, huge basketball area. Michigan has Detroit. Michigan State has Flint, Detroit. You know, Illinois has Chicago. Indiana has Indianapolis, as does Purdue. Minnesota has Minneapolis. See what I'm talking about? Metro areas. Penn State doesn't have that metro area to draw from, so they have to be more national, and that's what they're trying to do. News is next, top of the hour. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.